So Nick and Cam from Jet, lead vocalist, guitarist, respectively, the Get Born Live album is out today.
Yes.
Recorded mostly in Melbourne?
All in Melbourne. Yeah.
All in Melbourne.
At the Forum, yeah.
Yeah, 2004.
Yeah.
How important is it to you guys to record something like this in your hometown?
We were just talking about it before because it was a particularly, like that moment was right in the eye of the storm for us, you know, like everything had just exploded and we'd spent a lot of time in Los Angeles recording the album and then it just sort of exploded all over the world, and then that was kind of like a big sort of homecoming for us, coming back to our home city in Melbourne, playing at the Forum, which is, you know, a very iconic, beautiful venue where we'd been many times to watch our favourite bands play, you know, so it was definitely a highlight for us.
Did you see it happening that early on, though, in your initial successful career playing the Forum that early?
I don't think we anticipated anything that happened.
Yeah. You know? Well, I want to go back there, and I want to talk from someone who's grown up with Jet too. I would have been 14 years old, 2003.
Oh, yeah?
I want to go back. Two big things happened that year. One, technically in 2004, you won the Hottest 100. And the other one, we saw you on an iPod commercial.
Yeah.
Well, we heard the song, Are You Gonna Be My Girl, on an iPod commercial.
Yeah.
How does that come about?
Well, we were just writing this thing, you know, of ever since having made like little EPs and then signing and going to LA and deciding, hey, you know, bucket list, let's just go record in LA and, you know, to those famous or studios and stuff. You know, but no one knew that anything was going to happen. It was like the album turned out pretty good and then it was just sort of working it, you know, like getting out there and playing shows like this. And I can't remember when we were asked to do this thing, but I think the management came and said they could kind of see that it was a big thing. They thought that this would work, but it was kind of...
Because no one knew what an iPod was.
That's right. Yeah. Like, for you guys, was it like, oh my God, yes, get me on the ad, or were you like an eye? What? Yeah, sure, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, it was very much like that. We had no idea what it was, but we could tell by the way that managers and the label were talking that it was a big deal. So we were like, oh, I get, you know, but we did about it because back, especially in those days, we didn't know what an iPad was, but we were very much aware of the fact that back then, if you allowed your song to be used on any commercial, you run the risk of getting crucified, you know?
That's exactly right. What can happen is you can become just known for that ad, or people will go out and get the album, but they'll think, it only had one song on it.
Or, you know, or you sold out or whatever. But nowadays, everyone's
all the time, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, now it's not the
now
case,
people are queuing up to get on stuff.
Exactly.
You know? But it was very different back then.
Talk me through Melbourne and some of the iconic venues in Melbourne that you went to when you were kids.
When we were 18, 19 years old, which is around the period we were writing all that album, we would go out Brunswick Street, Fitzroy. We would go to the Evelyn, which was still around then. We watched
still there.
Is it?
Mm.
Oh. What's the one? The Punners Club has shut down.
Yeah.
Punners. Okay. And we spent a lot of time at the Edgy, you know, because that was kind of the closest point of the city for us.
The SB, you mean?
SB, yeah. What did I say?
Edgewater.
Edgewater.
Mentone.
Of course, UMI, massive influences for you guys too.
Absolutely. We were talking about Ali Daly yesterday.
Yeah.
Me and Cam at rehearsal, and I said yesterday that was a very important album for me anyway, because it was around the time of grunge, and all of a sudden there was an Australian band that were offering up something that was a lot more relatable than, you know, all these sort of American bands.
Yeah.
And even the album cover, we're talking about it, having this sort of view over rooftop suburban Sydney, I think it's Sydney, right? It was just, it was extremely important album, which made us feel like, you know, it was something more realistic to aim towards, you know.
Next question is about Are You Gonna Be My Girl. There's a cough at the very beginning of the recording there when the tambourine comes in, and it's kind of infamous now with the recording. I wanted to ask, was that planned, or was that just kind of left in the recording, like, you know, Michael Jackson's Beat It with the guitar solo?
Actually, it was not planned in the demo, because we recorded that song in Melbourne. And the cough, I coughed just there, you know, accidentally. But we got so attached to it that we took the cough from the demo and put it on the.
It's the original cough. It's the authentic original cough. We don't like so recreate. Not,
you haven't like huffed a bit of pepper or
like,
something.
Let me go again.
We got again. Really creative with that cough. I mean, I remember spending an hour just, you know, giving the guys pepper.
He went to the hospital and picked up some bug. You know, he was method.
Yeah, I went back and got the same illness.
The lengths that we go to, man, but it really works out in the end. So that way, are you saying that on the album that Are You Gonna Be My Girl, what we're hearing, was recorded in Melbourne? Is that what you're
just
saying?
Just the cough.
Oh, just the cough.
Just the cough.
Melbourne made in Melbourne.
Took it overseas and put it on the cough. That's great. Also, Nick, you've got one of the best rock and roll screams that I've ever heard. I mean, you blew me away at AC/DC. Well, all of you did, but I mean, AC/DC Lane just recently here. How do you not lose the voice?
I've been very fortunate that I no matter what I do, I've never really lost my voice. I had one hiccup years and years ago where I got ill and got nodules, but that, yeah, it was the only time in my life. I don't know.
Can you remember the first time that someone said to you, you should be in a rock band, you should be a front man?
No, I never ever had any ambition to be a singer, to be honest. I used to, in my bedroom, again, you and I used to put on Berlin Chair,
yeah,
and see if I could get up to that note. Like, that was kind of how I started singing, I guess. There was a Powderfinger song too. Any song that was particularly high, I would use that as a way to see how high I could get.
And that was it? Like, it was just a bit of a game? There was no ambition?
No, I mean, I always wanted to be a songwriter, but never, and I mean, you know, how do you know if you've got a good voice? You just got to sing, yeah, and see how people react.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, well, and so when you went into Making Jet with Chris and Cam, I mean, was the plan for you to be the singer, or was it just like a temporary thing and you were going to get someone else to come?
Generally, whoever wrote the song sang it. That's kind of how it worked.
You can see that throughout, like, since we've been rehearsing just Get Born, the album front to back, obviously, with this tour, to see the different, how that really played out, especially in that first record. You know, you have me singing and, you know, it really does mix up throughout the whole album.
Because we had to fight a little bit to insist that, because the label's like, no, you know, Nick, you've got to sing everything. We're like, no, right. We wanted to. But there was maybe one or two where we did say, okay. But other than that, pretty much whoever sings it wrote it.
What's it like in the States for the first time? Is it intimidating as an Aussie band going through there, or do you just go, let's have fun?
Well, it is. It's kind of, it's liberating in a way, because it's so huge that you're just anonymous and you just travel through it. And I remember playing in Detroit. That's actually outside Detroit, called Hamtramck. And it was like 12-mile road, Hamtramck, and everything's boarded up. And it looks just like post-apocalyptic. And we played to a guy and his dog, and the dog walked out. And I don't know, I just remember that. And it was fantastic. You're in this massive place, you know, and we started getting some traction, and then it was pretty incredible, you know, when things start happening over there, it happens big. Yeah.
What's the best free thing that you ever got for being famous?
Probably a guitar.
I got Nick's.
Okay. Stealing each other's gear. All right. What about first thing you did with your royalty check, the first royalty check that you ever got? Can you remember what you did?
We all bought apartments, I think. Chris moved to LA immediately. Chris never really came home after we recorded the album. Yeah. He's still there.
He's still away.
Yeah.
Did you get a free iPod as well?
No, no, actually no.
Didn't even get a free iPod from doing that.
No. I remember going, I mean, we bought some guitars. We were out in LA, and buying guitars over in the States is fantastic, especially in LA. Like, there's just the amount of guitars. I mean, for someone who's into that, you know, it was amazing. It was a kid in a candy store, and we went out and just all bought whatever we wanted.
Yeah.
You know, and that was fun.
For me, as a drummer, I think there's one store here in Melbourne that's kind of got your holy grail of drums, but I can imagine LA would just be store after store.
It is.
It's epic.
It's fun. Stuff.
Great place. Yeah. Like that American Pickers show where they just go around the States collecting stuff.
That show.
The same thing. How good's that show? Let's go and find like some old microphone that was used by a fireman in the 1920s or some shit and sell it for like $2,000. Lastly, what do you guys think of the future of music now? I mean, do you reckon any of the musical acts that these days will become influential in the future? I'm talking Ariana Grande, Justin Timberlake.
Yeah, probably. I mean, there's always, no matter what period in history, historically, there's always someone who becomes the spokesman for that period in time, you know.
I listen to the music these days on those other stations out there, and I think, how could this possibly be influential in the future? What they're doing?
But I mean, you're talking about pop acts, but there's a lot of other great music around now that's maybe not as commercially successful as that, but will be influential, you know. But often the most influential bands, they aren't necessarily hugely commercially successful, but they still have the power to be influential.
The boys are back on the road. Jet, 15 years since Get Born, and one of the greatest Oz albums. I can't believe it's been, you know, 15 years. Nick and Cam from Jet, how are you guys?
Doing pretty good.
Well,
doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. So, you know, you guys had one hell of a ride back when that album came out, because you had the Aussie tour. Then you went to America, which I remember you were telling us at the time, it was kind of like the lost tour, because you had such a humongous tour, but then the cracks started kind of appearing and it was obviously just one hell of a ride.
It was. I mean, everything exploded so quickly that we, touring for us was just never ending. You know, we kind of had to be everywhere at once, because, I mean, we were lucky enough to have had a success that was global, you know. So when we went on tour, it lasted a year, you know. It was crazy. And a lot of fun also, you know, but just a lot of work.
Of course it was a lot of fun. I remember one of you went missing, I think, for a few days, and you were trying to find, I forget who it was now.
One of us. I think that happened to a few of us.
Oh, jeez. So that was an incredible sort of begin for this band? Like, I was living in Melbourne at the time, and I remember we had you guys in so many times, and it all started off pretty much with that the TV ad for the iPod, and then it just went from there.
Yeah, it was crazy days.
Yeah, I bet. So how's it going for this 15th anniversary tour? You've been getting in rehearsing for next week. It all starts in Newcastle.
Yeah, well, I mean, Chris lives in LA these days and I live over in Europe, so we all just sort of got together 4 days ago now. We did 3 days of rehearsal and, yeah, it's going great. It's as we were saying earlier, that there's a lot of memories and nostalgia attached even for us to this music, so to be revisiting it now is a lot of fun.
Are you doing the album in full, like a lot of people have, or are you going to spread it out throughout the set?
Yeah, no, we're going to do the whole thing, the whole album from start to finish, and then you know, a bunch of other, we've got two other albums worth of stuff to choose from, so it's going to be the longest set we've ever done, I guess.
That's good. I remember seeing you guys when all this blew up. You had the show, which you've actually filmed, and you're putting out right now, Get Born Live, which is out now. That was the Festival Hall, but I remember seeing you at the pub down in St Kilda. And I think it was the showcase for all this.
Right.
And I felt privileged.
Was
I
that think, at the SP, was it?
It wasn't the SP. It was the other one where it did club shows on Saturday night.
Oh, the, what's that one called on Fitzroy Street?
Yeah, that one.
Not the Prince.
Yeah. The Prince of
I think it was the Prince.
Yeah.
I think it was the Prince. And I was there with, I don't know, like a few hundred people. And I just
that
felt
was one of my favourite shows. I was living about 100 metres away from that. It was the most comfortable arrival I've ever had to show.
It's all about the convenience.
The funny thing is, we knew your car, because my mate and I used to walk down Fitzroy Street, and we knew...
Gerald?
You know, yeah, because we would see it parked underneath, you know, where you were, and we'd go, oh, you must be still overseas or something. Like that car was parked there for months.
Really?
Yeah.
My car?
Yeah. I remember seeing it. Oh, I remember a mate of mine pointed that to me, going, "Oh, there's his car there." You
know, what car was it?
Was it a Land Rover? Was it, or a Range Rover or something?
No, I mean, it must have been my girlfriend's or my now wife, because I'd never owned a car.
That might have been it then. That might have been it. Or my mate was bullshitting. Put it there.
Yeah, I think he was.
Could be either way. But we you know, you were kind of local heroes in a way. We're kind of just so proud of you. Tell us about the show which you've released now, 2004, the Festival Hall in Melbourne.
I think we landed, we knew it was coming up, and then, you know, they were going to film it and record it and, you know, do it properly. And so we got there and it was a big to do and it had been all set up like properly. And then also it sort of hit us like, oh, you know, we're back home sort of thing. It added the extra weight to the show, homecoming, et cetera, you know, Melbourne, tough crowd, et cetera.
Yeah.
But I remember being, you know, it was over two nights and we got quite comfortable in the venue, and it feels good doing more than one show in like one venue.
I remember actually I'd been at the SB that afternoon watching Spoonful play, and I came straight from there.
Yeah,
that's a great preparation. So did you guys ever get nervous in front of, I mean, that being a homecoming, that
I think would... that's why I went to the SB first.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
have a few settlers.
Yeah, it's a good idea, because like I mentioned, any homecoming gig, especially after when you're blown up, There's going to be some pressure involved, obviously, you know.
It is, because there's always, you know, there's a lot of, the phone doesn't stop ringing with family and friends are all, you know, all obviously want to come and see the show, but it just adds another element of pressure to an already pressure situation. So I think that's exactly the reason why I thought, I'm getting the hell out of here. I'm going to go watch my mate's band play first and just calm my own nerves a little. And it was the best preparation I ever did, I think.
So living overseas now, what made you do that?
When everything started happening with Jet, we were on tour, like sort of nonstop for many, many years. So we were kind of living like gypsies for such a long time, and going all the way back to Australia whenever you had like a week off just became less and less realistic, because it was just so far away. It was so far away, you know. So Chris kind of, when we moved to LA to do the album, Chris never really came home. He's still there now. Cam moved to London, and I was still living in Melbourne, but I moved to Europe about 5 years ago with my wife.
And, you know, you obviously just get home when you can. And but we're pretty pumped for this tour, because the Triple M has had so much to do with you guys over the years. And I remember when I first moved to the M's in Sydney, Shaka Rock just come out. And, you know, I think Triple M, you know, we kind of went hand in hand for an entire year, you know.
Yeah.
In fact, actually, do you remember that loft? We did this listening session with you guys up in a loft somewhere in Surrey Hills. And anyway, look, I think it was when the album came out and we did this interview.
Yeah, actually, I think I do remember that.
It was just a really cool night. I think you guys might have just done a little session, like a little...
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It was the EMI one. Yeah.
EMI, yeah. I thought it might have been. Yeah, I remember it. Yeah.
And it was just a cool little room, and I'll never forget that. That was really good. But, okay, so you're playing the Metro. You got the two shows in the city. We're kind of privileged next week to see you. You got the small show and then, of course, the Enmore, which is sold out. The Metro is going to be great. A lot of great bands have played there over the years.
Yeah, I mean, we got some very fond memories of playing there ourselves too. Yeah. Well, to be honest, like, you know, despite the whole Melbourne-Sydney rivalry, I love going to Sydney and just full stop.
And, you know, you're so close to the crowd there as well. You almost kind of feel like the crowd's on top of you because you've got this sort of, you know, you've got the tiered seating and the balcony and everything.
Yeah, no, it's a beautiful venue.
I think it's in one of those, like, in my head, it's like in the category of, like, the black venues, the dark venues that are just super dark, and it's just like feels really rock and roll, really focused on the stage, you know, on the, you know, it's all about the music. So,
well, we're counting down to it. And look, thanks so much for doing the shows and having Triple M involved. Two massive shows in Sydney next week, and Jet Get Born Live is out now. And enjoy this tour, because I'm sure you'll be pretty relaxed about this one and just enjoying the ride, as there's zero pressure about this one.
Exactly, it is. It already feels good, and we're happy to be back playing these songs again, and we're very appreciative for all of the support as well.
And these boys cover.
Well, 2018 marks the 15th anniversary since Jet's debut album, What an Album Was, took Australia by storm. And last week, Jet have released a brand new album titled Get Born Live. And they're taking the band on the road once again, playing at the Metro this Wednesday night. And Nick and Cam going to join us in the studio this morning. Boys, welcome back.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I've got to say, fellas, no one is more excited than my two sons, 20 and 18, and they are just pumped to the eyeballs of you boys being back. What about you, Blake? Are you excited, or are you annoying each other already?
Not yet, but it's early days.
But I'll tell you what, boys, the great thing about you both, the first album compared to the second album, showed the variance of music. The first album is almost like, you know, no offence to this, but it's got that sort of that Australian pub rock sound to it, you know, that was we loved so much. The second album, and the Americans loved that first album so much because of those riffs. Second album, almost like it sounded very British. I've got to say, Shine On, the second album, is, I think, one of the best Australian albums of all time.
Oh, thank you. It is quite different, you know, and I guess, you know, that's that age-old problem of, you know, you got your whole life to write the first album, and then and then we were under a lot of pressure to come up with the second one very quickly. And a lot had happened to us in a very, very short amount of time. So we, despite the fact that it wasn't that many years after the first one, we were quite different people by then, you know, just from the amount of life experiences that we had in a very short amount of time.
Well, I can only imagine life experiences. When you go on the road with Oasis, I can imagine there's some life experiences there, boys. Yeah.
Yes, that was...
Can you remember them?
That was just one of a series of amazing experiences that we had, you know, in a very short amount of time. And obviously we were fans of theirs, and that tour was kind of... I have a lot of fond memories of that tour because it was a particularly fun period and everything was going great. And, you know, we were on tour around America with Oasis, and also Kasabian were on that tour. We had a really good time. And it was Liam's birthday in the middle of that tour.
It was an iconic venue in... I'm going to get this wrong. It's in...
Red Rocks, was
it? Yeah, Colorado.
Yeah,
right. And the morning started with, like, some of the people from the venue coming up and getting us because there were rattlesnakes under the bus. And then the end of the day was Liam's birthday with midgets and champagne.
That's the best.
That was just another day on the tour.
Is there another moment from the tour, boys? Was there a moment on that tour where you played a venue and you're looking at each other going, we can't believe we're here?
Probably the craziest, well, just in terms of the sort of big moments with getting on those big American TV shows like Saturday Night Live or David Letterman or things like that.
Madison Square Gardens as well. I remember when we I was sort of in a bit of a haze dream sort of thing. Okay, this, we're at Madison Square Gardens, and there's a different sort of feeling about that place. And then just going on and playing, I'm going, this is working, like this feels good. And then, but getting off and being like, oh, did we just do that sort of thing? It was a bit of a dream, but it went really well. And really,
yeah, that was a
dream of a sort of some out of the body almost.
Some of the bars around there, Pagey, around Madison Square Garden.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah, down there, it's around 8th Avenue, isn't it? There's just bars up and down.
The bar of Raging Bull, the iconic one, the old boxes.
Jimmy's Corner. Yeah.
You go and fill up at Jimmy's Corner and then go to the Madison Square Garden and get thrown out of the Knicks.
The Jet Tour is presented by Triple M right through May and June. You can get all the tickets at ticketek.com.au, and the album Get Born Live. Nick and Cam from Jet, thank you very much for having a chat to us this morning. Good to see you.
Thank you, guys.
Last time I saw Jet, it was in Perth at Metro City about 5 or 6 years ago, and they went to do that as their finale, and the power went out. The big encore at the end of the night.
Did they do it unplugged?
Well, they kept going, but they were trying not to spit the dummy at the
time. Someone on spoons?
It's 15 years since Get Born came out. Get Very Born is the name of the tour for Jet. They celebrate that 15th anniversary of that wonderful album. Metro City, June 7th. Hopefully the power will stay on. I don't know if you remember that story as we bring Nick and the boys from the band. Cam's there as well. G'day, boys. Welcome.
Oh, really?
At Metro City in Perth.
Testament to the power of the song.
It was one of the great nights. And everyone just went, oh, who cares? The power's out. We'll listen to their amps. It's all good. Some of those things happened. That was in Perth about 3 years ago, I think.
Do you remember the venue, though?
Yeah, that was the same one you're playing when you're coming back. That's at Metro City.
Okay.
But it was one of the huge nights. So we'll make sure we've got some backup power for you this time.
Thanks, you know, you'd think that I would remember something like that, but I absolutely don't.
Clezzy forgets nothing.
No,
now, guys, 15 years since Get Born is just unbelievable. It seems like the time passes so quickly. When you get back together and you get to play this album in its entirety, are you resorting back to the younger men you were? Is it just the lads again?
That's a good question. Regrettably, yes, a little bit. And we've just spent the last 2 days rehearsing, and I'm just recently back in Australia. So definitely playing these songs, there's a lot of memory attached to all of them, you know, so it has been quite nostalgic.
Hmm.
Guys, I haven't been a Jet fan for a long time, and I'll be honest with you, I was in the UK when the album came out, and of course I knew a couple of the big singles over time. They've had a life of their own, but I thought, okay, we're interviewing the boys tomorrow. I'm going to sit down and listen to the album. And I've got to say, it is a cracking rock album. And it's no wonder to me that it has stood the test of time. And I guess my question is similar to Kimber's, you know, watching some of those live clips on YouTube as well. Are you still able to turn the amps up to 11 or, you know, have a few hips and knees gone over time?
God, like they're 80.
No. You'd be bouncing around a stage for a long time.
It might be younger than us.
Yeah, right.
Firstly, thank you for your compliment. Secondly, yes.
Yeah, great. Okay.
We were very, very young when we did that stuff.
Yes.
I mean, the songs were written between the ages of 17 and, you know, 20 years of age, so despite the fact that it's 15 years ago, we were so young then that we're just middle-aged now.
You've still got plenty of cartilage in the knees, basically.
Hey, guys, I was going through my old man's record collection last time I was at his place, and it was almost all Neil Diamond, but you guys particularly influenced by Dad's record collection, and what was in there?
Well, my family's very musical, but it kind of skipped a generation, and, I mean, he had all the classics, like, I mean, we're talking about the 80s, so, you know, Age of Reason was there, so, you know, what was that other big one? Paul Simon, Graceland.
Oh, yeah. Yes, you know, yes.
Maybe a Michael Jackson album in there.
And Shoop Shoop Diddy Wop.
He was never that bold. But, you know, there was definitely a lot of Beatles, Cat Stevens, Neil Diamond as well.
Yeah. You had like Abbey Road, Sticky Fingers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so how surreal was it when you get the call from people like Springsteen and the Stones people to say, we want you guys to tour with us? Is it just mind-blowing?
Yeah, it was. I mean, especially the Stones.
Mm. Yeah, it's like being picked up by a spaceship when we were like 22 and supporting the Stones. We've been playing the Duke of Windsor down in Prahran, you know.
Oh, I know that gig, pub, you know. Yes.
Yeah. That's surreal.
And then we're out the back sitting on, you know, old kegs and boxes and like just support the Stones. It was pretty surreal.
Yeah. Mm.
And guys, will you play the album, or maybe this is a trade secret, but will you play the album in order?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
We will, but it's weird though, because we would never in a million years design a set list that way.
No.
No, but it might be cool, you know, having the audience know exactly where the journey's going and knowing the album so well, you're ready to rock on the next track.
I think for the, you know, like diehard fans, they'll appreciate it. But also it offers a chance for us, because we wouldn't structure a set list like that, but it offers a chance to highlight some of the other songs, you know, which is kind of refreshing for us as well.
Yes.
Hey, boys, thanks for your time, and we look forward to seeing you back in Perth, and may the power stay on.
We hope so too. Thanks, thank you very much.
15 years ago, an album called Get Born by Jet hit the charts and took the world by storm. It seems like only yesterday, but it was 15 years ago, and the guys are hitting the road again to celebrate their 15-year anniversary. We're joined by Nick Sester and Cam Munsey. Guys, 6.5 million copies later.
Wow.
It happened very quickly for you, didn't it?
Yeah, it really did. I mean, even, I was going to say, for the moment, the album was recorded to everything blowing up, but even before the album was recorded, we, from the time we started playing shows in Melbourne and making the album, even that was quick. You know, the whole thing was quick.
So how long had Jet been together before you enjoyed that success?
Well, actually quite a long time, but because we kind of formed the band when we were 15, 16 years old, and we did a few, like we played a few pubs underage, but we realized that we weren't very good. We thought let's spend more time concentrating on getting better at songwriting. So we hid away and, you know, got good and then came back.
You disbanded, though, in 2012. What happened?
You're going to have to ask Cam that.
Ooh, okay, Cam, over to you.
What did you do, Cam?
And he's crossed his arms.
Charges pending or...?
I think we'd sort of hit a... We were sort of running, like, just on a bit of a treadmill sort of situation. Looking back, it was a perfect time. Like, I just had... Chris and I just had daughters and... it was fantastic, actually, time to start.
Glad you said that. Thanks.
That was some weird experiment in the lab. after all that time, you know, we were at, like, fancy hotels and touring and stuff, but no one was happy.
Do you look back on that time and think, geez, I wish that's when we actually worked hard when our kids were little, because that's what you should be doing. Get out of the house.
What were you saying? Oh, yeah, like, Nick's got we both got young.
Cam just
kids
had a
again.
Little baby girl last week.
Congratulations,
oh,
Cam.
You must be so
tired.
We
just had our first 4 months ago. So we were just joking yesterday at rehearsal. We can't wait to go on tour and get some sleep.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, that's right. So Are You Gonna Be My Girl? Huge, cold hard bitch, rollover DJ. Was there a point where you got sick of performing those songs?
Yep.
Did you ever forget the lyrics? Did you ever forget the words?
I do, I still do. Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know why or how, but I do.
Did that song, Are You Gonna Be My Girl, did that get used for an ad anywhere in the world?
Yeah, a few.
Yeah.
How do you think we got our homes?
That's right.
That's
You've got to
know.
Get a house out of it. Now, before we let you go, first of all, congratulations on your huge success, and we hope the tour goes right off. I heard a rumour that you had auditioned for Akadaka.
Yeah.
Is that true?
It's true, yeah.
Tell us how that happened.
I was on holiday in Australia because I live overseas. I was staying with my in-laws, and I remember reading the paper that morning, and I said to my father-in-law, like, wow, Brian Johnson's out of the AC/DC. And I said, wouldn't you hate to be the guy who takes his place?
Oh, yeah.
And then a few hours later, the phone rang and they said, would you be interested in auditioning? And I said, yep.
I'd hate to be that guy.
Yeah.
It's like AC/DC, The Voice.
Well, to be honest, I thought, you know, this will just be a crazy, you know, this will just be a very interesting journey. I didn't think for a second that I would actually get the gig, but I thought, hell yeah, I'll go along for the ride.
Great.
And they flew me over to Atlanta, and I was one of 10 people, apparently, who I did. But it was all very secretive, and I still don't really know who else was asked. Or I was there. It was supposed to be for one day, but it went well. They asked me for a second day, and then next thing I know, they gave me a bunch of cash and said, thanks. It was very weird.
Can I ask you what your audition song was?
Man, they put me through the ringer. I did, because I didn't tell me much about it, and they asked me, you know, what do you want to do? And I said, how about Whole Lotta Rosie? And this was like, I guess it was 10 o'clock in the morning, and they looked at each other and they said, is this guy for real? I sang with them for 2 days, so there was...
Awesome.
There's not many soft crooners, though, really, to pick from. Like, they're all pretty...
Yeah. AC/DC's Fly Me to the Moon.
Yeah. Hey, don't miss Jet. They're coming through Brisbane in a couple of weeks, June 4. You can catch them at the Tivoli. Wonderful venue in Brisbane to catch Jet. The Get Reborn Tour. We can't wait for it. Thank you so much, Nick, Cam, for coming in this
Thank
morning.
Thank you, guys.